Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable tonight with the top stories of the past week. On deck tonight, the controversy surrounding Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, the police killing of Botham Jean in Dallas, Texas, Hurricane Florence, and a bizarre incident with the New York Times involving Omarosa Manigault Newman and Angela Bassett. My guests are Justin Duckham, political commentator, and James Wright with the Afro-American newspaper. Lots to get to. Want to hear from you tonight. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Guys, let's jump right in. The Brett Kavanaugh controversy continues to unfold, not day by day, but hour by hour. Mm-hmm. This was just reported approximately an hour ago by the Washington Post that the attorneys for the woman who has accused Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault, they're saying that she will not testify until there is an FBI investigation. Christine Blasey Ford says she's willing to come to Washington, but she wants an investigation by the FBI. The president has chimed in on this today. Everybody's talking, but right now the clock is ticking. I'll start with you, James. What's going on?
Well, first of all, let me just say this. I think that Brett Kavanaugh would be a disaster on the Supreme Court. He is a, quote, brilliant guy, unquote.
He's qualified.
He's qualified. But and not just on the basis of ideology, I don't really know what he would add to the Supreme Court as an institution. Having said that, I'm really disturbed by these allegations of sexual misplay when he was in high school. Generally, you can say, well, that was 30 years ago. And
36 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. He was young and yada, yada, yada. But now it looks like that there's some serious action that may have taken place that may have been swept under the rug at that particular school at that particular time. And now that this is surfacing and he has denied it, there is a real, real question about this man's credibility that is rising up.
Justin.
Well, I mean, yeah, this isn't a conversation about whether he was a jerk 36 years ago. This is him saying that he flatly didn't do it. So it runs the risk of him coming right out of the gate, making his introduction to the American people, having his first time on the national stage, and then lying about it. And it's weird. You see a lot of Republicans coming out and saying, I wouldn't want to be judged from something I did 40 years ago, trying to have this be a boys will be boys kind of excuse, saying that things that happened in high school don't matter. But what's really coming down here is it's not about that. It's about whether or not he's being truthful with the public given his first opportunity.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable. Lots to talk about tonight. What do you think? Like to hear from you. I think, James, that the interesting thing is we've now moved, now that the hearings are obviously long over, and now we have this other controversy that has raised its ugly head. We have now moved from a qualified jurist, one with apparent conservative leanings, great family man, to Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas, 2.0.
Yeah.
But is it really 2.0, or is this more like 1.9?
I'll say it's 1.9, and I was very active doing the Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas debacle. Matter of fact, Justice Thomas was one of the reasons why I got a major award about 6 years after he was sworn in journalism. But let me just say that this is what really bothers me, Harold, and I'm maybe something of a purist. I really don't like the sexual stories coming up about justices, about pubic hair on cans and what people did in high school. I don't like it because it really is a distraction, I think, from what these guys really think about executive power, the role of the judiciary, and that's sort of a sideshow to what they really should be paying attention to. Not saying that Anita Hill or this Christine lady doesn't have legitimate complaints. They do. And they should be addressed even by the FBI. But I think that the American people really need to focus on who this man Kavanaugh is and his impact on the court.
Justin.
I mean, I'm not sure if this is Anita Hill 2.0 and
1.9, 1.5.
Full disclosure, I'm 31 years old. So in 1991, I think I was in kindergarten.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't really fully grasp the details and the nuance of that. But in terms of, is this a high drama event? Yes, it is. Does this pose very big questions? Yes, it does. And I think ultimately, we're going to have to deal with the reality that this is going to be an HBO miniseries at some point. Mm-hmm. And I'm not ready for that yet. Well, this entire yuppie white people going to school, then coming back years later to take care of a drama from decades previously, it's clear Emmy bait, and I'm not going to stand for it. I will be boycotting that show.
But here's the thing, though, and for the 31-year-olds in the room, and I can kind of help sum this up. I think the reason, and I do beg to differ with James a little bit, the reason why executive power and Roe v. Wade and all of these other things have become secondary to what is happening with Brett Kavanaugh is for the same reason that those same kinds of issues were secondary with Clarence Thomas, because you got to this point where the American people need to ask what kind of people are being put on the court. And we could argue that same kind of thing has been asked again, answered. What kind of person has nominated these people? Mm-hmm. The same kinds of issues, generally speaking, that made Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill a household name are the same issues that the president is still dealing with, this huge alleged sexual assault cloud over him and his presidency. And so I think that we do need to ask what kind of people will be sitting on the Supreme Court. Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Joanne, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Joanne. What's on your mind? Turn your radio down, Joanne. Go right ahead, please. Okay, Joanne? Yeah, turn your radio down. Go right ahead, please.
I think the vote should be scheduled for next Thursday. Hold the hearing on Monday. If she shows, she shows. If she doesn't, she doesn't. We need to resolve this quickly. I don't think that any citizen should be able to demand an FBI investigation. It is deplorable to see what Dianne Feinstein did, and as a woman, I feel that all women have been betrayed by these actions.
Why do you say that? Do you think that she should have said something when she first got the letter back in July?
Absolutely. Not only that, I think that over the course of the years that someone should have brought this forward when the other FBI investigations were going on. Dianne Feinstein had no right to sit on that information and then spring it at the last minute. It's unfair to every American to have politics work like this.
Okay. Joanne, thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about the top stories of the week. Ronald calling from Maryland. What's on your mind?
Well, I like to say, you know, you're the first person that I've heard say that you need to start thinking about the people who are selecting these candidates for the Supreme Court, which is the president,
mm-hmm.
and who have been accused in multiple occasions of the same acts.
That's correct.
So that was my comment.
Okay.
I appreciate the fact that you mentioned that, because nobody else has so thus far.
All right. Well, thank you, Ronald. I appreciate it. Justin, you were about to say something.
I mean, I'm just saying we've kind of grown numb to that fact. And there are just a lot of realities here that we're not taking into full consideration. The big one is that this is a lifetime appointment. It is the only position in the U.S. government where you get to stay there for life. I'm sure it's something that, you know, a lot of senators are certainly trying to do, especially, you know, Orrin Hatch and others. But at the end of the day here, there's really no rush for a lifetime appointment. The only political pressure, the only timing here that is really motivating people is purely based in politics. You know, there is a rush to get this done before the midterm elections, mm-hmm. and Democrats gain power, Republicans lose. There's a rush to do this before the Trump administration potentially crumbles, as, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are hoping for. So there really is no actual rush based on just the facts itself, especially considering how important this role is.
Yeah, and I would add that the rush also is to get him on the bench. The Republicans want to get him on the bench before October, before the new Supreme Court session starts up. Let's go to Debbie. Debbie calling from Maryland. Hey, Debbie, what's on your mind?
I think it's unfair that Trump gets to appoint Supreme Court justices during a midterm election when the Republicans would not let Obama do the same thing. And if everyone else can be called out for this Me Too movement, why can't Kavanaugh?
Interesting. Debbie, thank you so much. You were going to say, James?
I agree with her. You know, as you know, Merrick Garland, a very qualified U.S. D.C. Court of Appeals judge, did not have the opportunity even to get a hearing when he was nominated by President Obama in 2016 on the death of Antonin Scalia. As a pure political person, I would do the same thing with Brett Kavanaugh to even up the score.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lots to talk about tonight. It doesn't matter what you're calling about. We will get to your question. I do want to switch gears a little bit, but we'll get to whatever you want to talk about. Got to talk about Botham Jean before the break in, and also on the other side. The situation in Dallas, Texas, this 26-year-old man shot and killed in his own apartment by an off-duty police officer, Amber Geiger. And now this has just really, really blown up into an investigative mess, a legal mess, an issue about race and Black Lives Matter. The guy was in his own apartment late at night, and this officer shoots him because she says she was at the wrong apartment. The thing that's really nasty is now they've searched his place, mm-hmm. and we still do not have a toxicology report on her. I'll start with you, James. Where is this going?
Well, first of all, we have to say that this is Dallas, Texas. And I understand that Dallas has had a black mayor. And I understand that they have a sheriff with a sexual orientation. But it's still Dallas, Texas at its very core. And what I mean by that is that you still have a predominantly white police force. You have a black community, the non-affluent part of the black community, feel that it is under occupation. And so this is why you have situations like that, why she felt comfortable shooting Mr. Bojum the way she did, because she knows that she has the apparatus of the Dallas police force behind her.
Do we know that she felt comfortable? I mean, certainly there are so many questions about what she said about a mistake to begin with, Justin. It just boggles the mind that it got to that point.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions. We don't know if she was drunk. We don't know if she parked in the wrong spot. We don't know if she gave verbal commands, as the police say. We don't know if her neighbors overheard. But what we do know is that a man was shot inside his own apartment through no fault of his own. And if this story doesn't resonate as something that's relatable to everybody, then we're just never going to have a story of these police shootings that is ever really going to break through the noise.
I just think that this is just so unusual because, as you said, she lived on the third floor. He mm-hmm. was on the fourth floor. Mm-hmm. He had a red rug. Mm-hmm. She didn't have a red rug. There's been video posted and discussions among the investigators, because initially one of the statements she said was that the door was ajar. These doors, unless they're blocked open, can't be ajar.
Mm-hmm.
And not being a police officer, maybe we have an officer out there who can speak to this, but you know, at some point, unless we know what her situation was, whether she had been drinking or she was just extremely exhausted, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, I'm so glad you're giving her the benefit of doubt, but I don't.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not. Just hold your thought, because I've got to take a break, and then we're going to talk to Eleanor in Maryland, Vivian in West Virginia, Michael in Maryland. If you can't get through, please keep trying. I promise I'll get to your phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Still taking your phone calls after 7:30. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is in for Jeff Brown tonight with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a bit.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU, and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are at the Reporters Roundtable with the top stories of the week. My guests are Justin Duckham. He's a political commentator, and James Wright with the Afro-American Newspapers. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We were on the other side of the break. We were talking about the Botham Jean shooting by a Dallas police officer, Amber Geiger. She claims that she thought that she was at her apartment. She went to John's apartment and shot him in his own place. Mm-hmm. James, you were making some comments before the break.
The point that I was making is that she did something definitely wrong, but because she knows that she's going to be backed up by the apparatus of the Dallas police force, and she feels okay. And let me just say that, because in many situations, and you know about this, where police officers have gotten away with killing African Americans in other cities, but that especially is acute in Dallas, where in South Dallas, particularly in the Oak Cliff area, they feel like they are under police occupation. In North Dallas, the police protect the residents in North Dallas. But in South Dallas, they patrol and control the residents there. And is it about race? Of course it is. Everything in Dallas is about race. But you have to also understand this, Harold. Dallas is about image. It wants to portray itself as this cosmopolitan, business-like, sophisticated city. And the truth of the matter is that if you pull away the levers, it is just as, and I can say this, as racist as even Jackson, Mississippi, or Birmingham.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Michael calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Michael. What's on your mind?
How you doing? I just want to speak on this issue regarding this Supreme Court nominee.
Go right ahead.
Nominee, and this is my take on it. I go back to the Clarence Thomas and the Anita Hill issue. I believe at this time, I believe then, and I believe now that Clarence Thomas, although he did was appointed to the Supreme Court that he was guilty, just as I believe that this individual now, who is also a nominee for the Supreme Court, is guilty. Why is this person coming forth now? Okay, let's look at it. Okay, why didn't we come forth, or why wasn't statements made of that we could corroborate, you know, during slavery when all of these type of betrayals or the type of lynchings that was, you know, was bestowed upon us because we didn't have a voice, we didn't think anyone would believe us, no one would want to hear. Okay, but now all this stuff is before the media and people are taking a close attention to it. So I'm going to leave that there and I'm going to take and speak on this issue regarding the police, the killing in Dallas, Texas.
Go ahead.
Yep. The person knew exactly what they were doing. Okay, we're not oblivious or crazy to the blue coat, the blue code of silence. We know what that's all about. But at some point in time, when you say that, you get tired, you take a rest. But the only way you end things is when you've had enough of it. When you get had enough of what's taking place, then you make a change. But when you get tired, you rest, and then you go out and run the race again. You got to have come to a point to where you've had enough of it, and you take a stance. And
okay.
At the same time, you got to give up something. What are you willing to? How far are you willing to go? And what are you willing to give up to make a change?
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. Let me go to Eleanor calling from Maryland. Eleanor, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm calling in regards to the position for Judge Kavanaugh.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
My opinion is, I'm not a lawyer, but my opinion is that he should get an interim position. And in the meantime, while the investigation is going on, once the investigation is finished, have a hearing. If he's found guilty, then he's no longer on the bench.
Well, here's the thing. This isn't about even, you know, guilt or innocence. I mean, you know, he is a judge on the federal bench here in D.C. already. If he is not confirmed, he goes back to where he was.
Yeah.
And that, so there's no interim anything unless he decides to resign from the federal bench and the president decides to appoint him to something like that.
Well,
but
yeah, and also, you know, the Supreme Court by design deals with some pretty big issues.
Yeah.
You know, things that have pretty big lasting consequences. And giving it to a temp just doesn't seem like the right idea in the long run.
I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Terry calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Terry. What's on your mind?
Hi. Good evening.
Hi.
I've been listening to the conversation, and if I wanted to give the officer in Texas the benefit of the doubt, it doesn't matter. She killed someone. Mm-hmm. If a young black male, female, youth, or black person, period, had made the same mistake, they're going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to pay the price for that mistake. Now, you know, she can say, make up any excuse and come up with any explanation that she wants to. She still killed a man in his house, and somebody has to pay for that mistake. So she has to do jail time. It's that simple.
Well, thank you so much, Terry. I appreciate your phone call. And I think that this wasn't a traffic stop. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a suspect running from the scene of a crime. This mm-hmm. was not a suspect even who was grabbing for a cell phone and someone was thinking that they were grabbing for a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that everyone who is watching this needs to take a step back and not look at it from the police officer's position.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in your house, you mm-hmm. are in your home, the safest place that you probably know,
mm-hmm.
and you're watching TV or you're asleep or you're in the, it doesn't matter that you're in the dark
mm-hmm.
because you're in your dark.
Right.
Okay. It doesn't matter that you're having a milkshake. It doesn't matter that there's 1/3 of an ounce of marijuana in your house. It doesn't matter whether you are a lay leader in your church with a great voice and you work for PricewaterhouseCoopers. It doesn't matter that you may have a criminal record or that you may be on probation, served your time.
Mm-hmm.
You are in your house and a police officer comes to your house.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I would think, assuming that if I came to the door, I would say, can I help you? Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. If I didn't do anything, mm-hmm. And so I just find the whole thing really unfortunate. And at what point do you know that you are not in your own place? Because your house has a certain smell.
Mm-hmm.
It has a certain look. Even in the dark. Even in the dark. And you may not know what your house smells like, but you do know what it doesn't smell like.
Right.
Yep. Yep. Which is why this story just strains belief and has presented just an endless amount of questions.
Yeah.
You know, and let me say that I think that I agree with people who say that the officer knew what she was doing. And I go back again. This is Dallas, Texas, that a very conservative town, a town where you are supposed to stay in your place if you are a person of color. And it's a town where very wealthy people operate in, work for very wealthy corporations and things, banking, oil, etc. And so certain folks are supposed to stay in South Dallas. Certain folks are supposed to be in North Dallas. And even though this is 2018, those lines are still there.
Mm-hmm.
You have a few people that have moved over to Arlington and where the Dallas Stadium is. You have a few Dallas Cowboys who are African-American who live in North Dallas. But it is still Dallas, Texas that has that line as Stemmons Freeway.
Mm. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the top stories of the week at the Reporters Roundtable. You can talk about all of the issues that we've already mentioned. I do want to, however, move on to the next one. Hurricane Florence. More than 30 people killed mm-hmm. in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Absolutely devastating to North Carolina and South Carolina. So much discussion about the emergency response. And, of course, the president talking not only about that over the past week, but also Maria and Puerto Rico. And so I ask once again, Justin, why this distraction when he could have just left Puerto Rico alone politically and just showed up and showed out with the response with North Carolina and South Carolina?
I have no idea. And honestly, so the way this happened, he was in the Oval Office and there was a Canadian reporter who asked the question, what lessons are you applying to this response that you learned from Hurricane Maria? Which is a very normal, very calm question. It wasn't somebody trying to corner him. That's a normal policy question. Mm-hmm. And his response was, well, there's no lesson to be learned because we did everything amazingly. And by the way, the death count's fake.
Mm-hmm.
So he just took this very normal question and then ran with it into ways that just made no sense, saying that these people who died died like magic and were therefore put on that list, casting doubt, fighting with other members of his own party, all during a period of time when he was trying to build up confidence that he is going to handle South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia. So it just it raises – I mean this is who Trump is. We know this is who Trump is. He will pick fights that he doesn't have to fight
because.
Because why not? Because he can. And he will.
James.
And this will happen again. Sorry.
You know, when is this guy going to be presidential?
I think he may not be.
I mean, we need a president who understands that you have this horrific storm headed toward North Carolina, South Carolina, and parts of Virginia. People need to be evacuated. Businesses need to be protected. Insurance claims need to be set up so where people can quickly process their insurance. The last thing we need is a reference to a failed attempt in Puerto Rico that is still recovering from it. And this guy needs to be presidential.
Yeah.
But I hear what you say, though, Harold.
And I also think that it remains to be seen how FEMA and and by extension, the Trump administration reacts to North Carolina and South Carolina hurricane damage long term.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this could come back to bite him mm-hmm. in a year. Certainly the circumstances in Puerto Rico, the financial circumstances may be different. He did say that it was, it is an island. But of course, as we've seen, General Russell Honoré retired said, mm-hmm. because it is an island, and he said the Army can go anywhere and do it all. And so that argument about not being able to get to Puerto Rico and not being able to do all the things that Puerto Rico needed a year ago. And so now, with North Carolina and South Carolina, it'll be very, very interesting to see how, with the federal government's help, how those states are rebuilt mm-hmm. in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and today when he was down there on the ground, he was touting how quickly the power was coming back on and how the federal government was going to assist in that in any way that they possibly could, while simultaneously, earlier that week, time and time again, blaming Puerto Rico for the crisis because of their power outages. So just, again, it just boggles the mind. I know I return to that and just can only respond to a lot of his stuff with disbelief, but this is who we are dealing with.
Hmm.
Let me go back to the phone lines after the break. Greg calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. We're going to talk to you next. Do not hang up. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Dr. Willie Jolly, host of...
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher, and we continue at the Reporters Roundtable with the top stories of the week. Let's go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Greg calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. First of all, Greg, how's Charlotte doing in the aftermath of Florence? You all having any problems down there?
Charlotte itself did not get hit as bad as many of the outlying areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there were some downed trees, and there were definitely some flooding issues, but nothing to the extent of eastern North Carolina.
Good to hear. Good to hear. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Just to basically echo many sentiments that were already said in regards to the man being shot by the police officer in his own apartment. The thing that I think that really I have a fear of is that we as people of color, we already feel that we don't have a chance with the police. And so this could set, especially if the officer there is no wrongdoing, they're not found guilty, the precedent that this could set. And to be honest with you, if nothing comes of this, what could not happen?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with
mm-hmm.
us, meaning that it's free reign on mm-hmm. citizens mm-hmm. in their own homes, especially people of color.
Yeah. And thank you so much for that. And I think that's what you were talking about
mm-hmm.
Earlier, James, whether it's, Dallas or Baton Rouge or or Minnesota or Sanford, Florida, do we go on?
Well, I mean, the precedent has been set, especially when you look at the Philando Castile case a little while back. Mm-hmm. That officer was charged with manslaughter. A lot of people who watched that video would have probably thought that that was a flat-out murder, just like it sounds like in this situation. He was ultimately acquitted.
Mm-hmm.
We see the officer in this situation who was arrested for manslaughter. We see the police union. We see the sort of inner workings of that police community pretty much playing the same games. We still don't know what the final answer is going to be, but it should be troubling that it's going in the same direction right now.
Greg, thank you so much for your phone call. Before I go to our last topic, I do want to go back to something regarding Kavanaugh. Right now, the confirmation vote is sitting. The numbers are sitting on a razor's edge, and we have Collins from Maine and Murkowski from Alaska. And and there's no pun intended, they are the swing votes, mm-hmm. just, you know, just mm-hmm. like Kavanaugh would be if he is confirmed to the high court. Politically, you know, these two very powerful, very politically astute women, is it likely that they may vote against Kavanaugh, whether we hear from Blasey Ford or not on Monday, just because of this allegation of sexual assault?
Let me say this, being a Capitol Hill reporter, I think that Susan Collins would be much more likely to vote against Kavanaugh than Lisa Murkowski. Susan Collins is from Maine. Mm-hmm. And I've had several friends of mine tell me that Susan Collins cannot do anything wrong in Maine.
Right.
So she's yeah. very, very popular there. Lisa Murkowski is popular in Alaska, but she is subject to being persuaded. So I would be very surprised to see Lisa Murkowski vote against Kavanaugh. I would not be surprised if Susan Collins did.
Justin?
I mean, I think it's interesting that we're wondering about what Murkowski and Collins are doing. If there is testimony that's provided that paints a very clear, credible picture of a sexual assault taking place, it's not really them who are going to have to make that decision. It's the men on the panel as well who have pretty much gotten a free pass for any of the hard decisions in this country lately. And there we go. My personal feelings, I'm not sure where this is going to go. I think that his nomination is toast at this point. Mm. I don't know how you come back from this for a lifetime position with all of these questions in this political moment. So I think he's pulled away.
Yeah, not to mention, I would imagine that no confirmation process is smooth sailing.
Mm-hmm.
Even under the best of circumstances, you have senators that don't want to see you there, and mm-hmm. and we've seen that during the confirmation during the hearings last week or so. But I think, with that said, this nomination may very well be troubled. The president even hinted at possibly pulling it. You know, Kavanaugh may say he may not want to be be seen as a Clarence Thomas light. And, as it relates to the accusations.
Of course, that's what you meant.
Right. And, I mean, that's what I mean. Because, as I said before, the accusations against Clarence Thomas were not about touching,
mm-hmm.
but they were about, the accusations were about severe and broad sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. And for the 31-year-olds in the room again,
sorry.
I would say that I remember the descriptions very, very well.
Hmm.
And they were very, very detailed. They were very graphic. Mm-hmm. This accusation is about an assault. This is about touching. This is a forceful, you know, situation. She is alleging that she was in a situation she did not want to be in, and mm-hmm. and was able to get out only when the other person in the room, according to her, jumped on and they got knocked off the bed and she ran out. So, you know, I think with all of that said, you know, Kavanaugh may want to pick up his toys and go home. That may not be an unlikely scenario. So,
I mean, it also wasn't like Kavanaugh was the choice of the base. There were others who were on the list that was put forward by the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation that were much more conservative, that offered much more red meat. Kavanaugh's not a friend of the president. He barely knows him.
Yeah.
There's no loyalty there.
Yeah, you're right. Kavanaugh is mainly a Bushie. He's really, really mm-hmm. been with, especially with George W. Bush, which is why you had Condoleezza Rice testifying on his behalf.
Yeah, yeah. So with only a few minutes left, you know, we always have to kind of end the show with a bit of a chuckle. What on earth happened with Omarosa Manigault Newman and one of my favorite, I would argue my favorite actress, Angela Bassett? She was misidentified by the New York Times as Omarosa Manigault Newman. Now, this has had to do with the Emmy Awards. I don't. Justin is the white guy in the room.
Oh my God. Really? I am not touching this one at the 10 foot pole. No, no. You gentlemen have fun. I'm going home.
How did this happen?
Well, you simply just had people who didn't know who Angela Bassett or who what she looked like and didn't know what Omarosa looks like. Mm-hmm. And as someone who worked in the Washington Post copy desk, not only in the sports copy desk primarily, but also in the national copy desk, you have to really move very quickly in terms of identifying mm-hmm. photos. And if you're not familiar with the people that you're looking at and you start writing that caption or editing that story, you can definitely make a mistake, especially if you don't know who the people that you're dealing with. You don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. And that excuse about that we all look alike, and that's what some would say. I'm sorry, Angela Bassett and Omarosa really don't look alike.
No, they're not. And I know one of the arguments is that Angela Bassett is 60 and Omarosa is in her 40s. 60 never looked so good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Let's be mm-hmm. very, very clear. Angela Bassett mm-hmm. just last week had a swimsuit photo shoot, and she looked like a NCAA cheerleader. Mm. I mean, lean, mean, gracious, gorgeous. Yeah, she's one of my favorites. But I would argue that this is the main argument for diversity in newsrooms, television, radio. Bloggers, print, it really, really doesn't matter. And when you have an organization, a news organization like the New York Times, their megaphone is so big and it is so loud that when they make a mistake like that, it takes a lot to backtrack on that.
Interesting. The New York Times' executive editor is Dean Bakwet. You know, an African American, which is kind of interesting. You make a good argument in terms of diversity in the newsrooms, and that's been an issue that's been going on since the 1960s when the Kenner Report was released and basically said that at the time that those newsrooms were virtually all white, which sort of reflected no sensitivity toward the African American communities in many of the newspapers and the communities they covered.
And I remember hearing stories that, you know, during the riots in 1968, that you had specifically newspapers, but in some cases, even with the networks, that when you needed to go into Los Angeles and into Baltimore and into Detroit and into D.C., a lot of the, you know, the white editors, the white producers were looking around and saying, well, who's going to go? I'm not going over there. And so what do? So you Leroy, who's on the copy desk, you know, who went to Howard or to Morgan or to Hampton, but never got his shot.
Right.
That's how he got his shot. And even though, you know, the late Jim Vance, could speak to that. So that, you know, that's no fairy tale. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us tonight to talk about this. Boy, I tell you, it's been one heck of a week or one heck of a day, but as I said in the beginning, things change hour to hour. It's been one heck of an hour.
Absolutely.
Justin Duckham, James Wright, thank you so much. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, September 19th. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.